Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Are you becoming millionaires?
Yes.
Do you really believe this?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Na konal mo kiante. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. I'm telling you. Amen. Are you blessed?
Amen.
We are talking about the power of connections. The power of what? The power of what? We've seen in the book of Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. Together, we can do so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read that book again, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. From verse 9. Amen. Are you discussing these topics during the week?
Amen.
If you're not attached to a home cell, please make sure that you are rich somehow so that you can get sermons when you are not here. Please just make sure that you go to the desk and say, I want to receive sermons, but I don't have a warm cell where I am or something like that. I'm sure they'll be able to help you. Amen? So that when you don't miss anything, you know, especially when we do series, you know, you find that I sometimes go a little bit back before I continue, but it's not always possible. Amen? So if you don't belong to a warm cell, I know there'll be people from far where they are, there's no warm cell. But make sure that you actually make them aware that you are not receiving anything. Amen. Are we going to do that? Right. So let's read Ecclesiastes.
Chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one.
Two are better than, look at your neighbor, two better than one. Together we can do so much. And we are going to be practical about it in this ministry. You know, when I'm done with this series, we are going to do some practical work together. Amen? Say, neighbor, we are going to be rich together. Continue reading.
Because they have a good reward for their labor.
Yeah, because together we'll have what? A good reward. Okay, continue.
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
For if they fall, one will lift up his companion.
Uh-huh.
But woe to him.
Yes.
Who is alone.
Woe to him who is what? Alone. Who is alone. Amen. Last week I spoke about what I've done in my life when I was growing up, and I made sure that I lift some people up with me. You know? And I said that one thing that we struggle with is wanting to be rich alone. Amen? Amen. It's wanting to prosper alone. We do not want to share secrets of success with anybody. Like witches. They won't tell you how they fly. They won't give you the secrets. Or they have they given you the secrets now? Did you consult them? Did they give you? They refuse. They won't tell you how actually this thing works. So we've got a lot of witchcraft going on in the church because people don't want to tell you people are just happy to be the only ones that are shining. And I said to you, that is actually the source of witchcraft because people want to bring you down now because you don't want to bring them up. Am I talking to somebody here? Because you don't want to bring them up, they want to bring you down. Of course, they are terrible people. It doesn't matter what you do. Even the hand that you're trying to pull them up, they will bite it. Yeah. They are such people, but they are not in majority. Many people would appreciate help. You know, I was talking to a man of God during the week, and we were talking about some things and in business, and he was telling me that, you know, somebody just refused to tell him how he succeeds. Just refused to say, okay, give me money, I'll do it for you. But he just wouldn't tell you how he does. In this church, you are going to get secrets of how things are done. Hallelujah. And selfishness, it's a very old sin. This thing has been there from creation. And this came as a result of man. Now, selfishness is actually self-centeredness. When man loses God, removes his eyes from God to himself, he becomes selfish. So anybody who is only interested in himself is not a spiritual person. If you see somebody enriching himself and he calls himself a Christian, you can say definitely he's an unspiritual Christian. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? Because a spiritual person focuses on God, not on himself. Let me show you. In the beginning, remember in the book of Genesis chapter 3, men fell. Remember? Remember Adam fell? And what did Adam do? In verse 7, let's read verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3. Are you in the house here? And I want to show you something there. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Are you ready to learn? Are you ready with your pen and paper? Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. What is it saying?
Verse 7.
Uh-huh.
Then the eyes of both of them were opened.
Okay, after eating the fruit, isn't it? The eyes of both of them were opened. And then they begin to see. Okay, continue.
And they knew. That they were naked.
Uh-huh. Suddenly they began to see that they were naked. Come on, people of God. In other words, their eyes. Wait. There's an echo that I'm hearing some. It's an echo. Is it? Or somewhere? Okay. It looks like it's when I come closer to this speaker. Okay. Where's Samuel? So, these two people of God, Adam and Eve, all the time they were naked. All the time. It was not a new thing. They were naked from the time they were created. Are you hearing me? But suddenly, sin made them to remove their eyes from God unto themselves. All the time, they were just focusing on God and their relationship with God. All that matters was God. But suddenly, they look at themselves and see that they are naked. Are you hearing me? A person who is removed from God will see his own nakedness. And look at what they do next, which will make more sense to you. Okay.
They sewed fig leaves together.
They sewed fig leaves together.
And made themselves coverings.
Now listen to this. They then started to make garments of for themselves of what? From fig trees. It's men trying to cover his nakedness. Men now is doing everything to cover himself from his nakedness. Now, man is aware of the things that he's lacking. And he is lacking in, and he's trying everything to cover that shortage in his life. Are you hearing me? So it's man's effort. Why? Because man has now removed his eyes from God because of sin. Now things are starting to matter around him. Now, I want to say this to you. The problem that we have is that we are too much aware of our nakedness. And as a result, the things that we do in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the flesh, remember that fig trees were men trying to cover himself. Am I talking to somebody? There are a lot of things that we do in the physical that are just mere fig trees that are trying to cover the nakedness of man. That are trying to cover the flesh. But we don't realize that the material things that we are looking for in this world is to cover something that we are aware of in our lives. Oh, Jesus Christ. No matter what it is, I mean, you could even looking about a huge mansion somewhere that costs 100 million, that could just be a fig tree to God, a fig tree leaf to God. Man trying to cover his nakedness. That very expensive car that you don't even need is just to cover your nakedness. There are things that you are aware of in your life that only you are aware that can only be covered by an expensive car that you don't even need. What is the point of 100 million Rolex? I mean, 1 million Rolex watch, which if you put it on, nobody can even see it's 1 million. Only you and the few people who know. You know, there are few people look at, it's not real Rolex. It's not real what? But it's like 1% of us here. Many of us, if I come with watch here, say, no. Say, neighbor, do you even know how much is my watch? You don't even have, God have mercy. God have mercy. You see, these are the, what we are seeing in the world is vanities of men trying to put together fig leaves to cover himself. And there's nothing you can do unless those men, those people come to the knowledge of Christ. It's a pity to find it in the church. You know, when you look at how God addresses the issue in verse 21, look at what God does. When man has been trying to look for fig leaf here and there, the man, God, after rebuking them, I love this God. He went through he rebuked them. You know what? He rebuked here. Kesta, what? Woman, you shall do. After finishing all that, because God is God, look what he does. What a God we serve.
Verse 21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin.
My God. He made what? Tunics of skin. There you are. The first death of an animal. To cover the nakedness of man. This thing of man centering on himself, trying to do things to cover himself, became important to God immediately. And he killed an animal. The first animal that shed up. There you are. The first type of Christ you see in the Bible. Even before anything else, God immediately after pronouncing what is going to happen to the snake, to the woman, and then he kills an animal. There and then became the shedding of blood. I'm sure that animal was an innocent animal. It was one without blemish. A type of Christ. Immediately, God wanted to deal with this self-awareness.
Everything now focus on me. God, we can't even see you in the garden. Sorry, we are naked. And God immediately slaughtered an animal and put it on that. And Paul speaks about this, by the way, in the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Read about it. Romans 13, verse 14.
Verse 14.
Uh-huh. 14. 1-4.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And make no provision for the flesh.
Come on, clap your hands for Jesus Christ. When you put on Christ, your focus is then removed from yourself. Oh, am I talking to somebody in the house? When you are clothed with Christ, you are now at peace. Now you are clothed. Now you don't have any nakedness anymore. You are no longer a focus of yourself anymore. No more nakedness. Am I speaking to somebody in the house? You see, what gives people sleepless nights is the nakedness that they are aware in their lives. They are aware of. You better make sure before you get money that you are clothed. Because you're going to go after useless things to try to clothe yourself and you'll still be naked. That's the vanity of vanities. Oh, Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to somebody in the house here? God slaughtered an animal, covered them, make them a nice garment, ending the nakedness. Speaking of our time, that is only Christ who will satisfy people, not things of this world. You look at things, you say, but they don't make sense. Yeah, people are naked. What can they do? They're trying to cover. Maybe if I do this, I'll feel better. Maybe this thing will give me a better image. This is how people see me. I want to create an image. That's why people get all these things. Get all these things they have. Vanity of vanities. Amen. Self-centeredness is an enemy of divine connections. You cannot connect with people that God wants to connect to if you're selfish. Because many people that God will connect you to, they will look like there can be nothing you can get from them. As I said last week, keys are small things, but they open big doors. Amen. You may have everything, but God will place a small thing that you need in somebody else's hands that you undermine. That may just be a missing piece in your life. Hallelujah. We're talking what? The power of what? The law of connections, the power of connections. Amen. Are you in the house of God? Amen. The people that God brings in your life and the people you connect with are very, very important. Amen. They are what? They are very, very important. But remember that you need to be delivered from self-centeredness. As long as you are self-centered, you cannot meaningfully connect with anybody. It must always be about what you can bring to the table and not what you can get from it. Am I talking to somebody in the house? So today, I'm going to start on the part of these teachings where I'm going to look at the practical ways how we can connect with people meaningfully, the people that God brings in our lives. We are going to succeed together. Look at your neighbor, we're going to succeed together. We're going to do what? Well, God, saying about God has given me what you want. It's just that you don't know. You go and look for it all over the place and you leave me here. May God have mercy on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say I'm an asset in God's kingdom. So, networking in a biblical sense. So we are going to talk about, when you're talking about the law of connection, you're talking about in the secular world what they call networking. Amen? But we're going to look at it in a very godly way. Hallelujah. The first thing that we are going to look at is what I call, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Surrounding yourself, surround yourself with around like-minded people. I also call it the power of influence. The power, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. The power of influence. You can also put it in the power of influence. Amen. Say the power of influence. Influence plays a very important role in our lives. So it is important that we surround ourselves with people who will influence us in the right direction. You have friends right now. I wonder how they influence you. Amen? You want people who will be challenging you to do something with your situation. And not people who just make you comfortable where you are. Am I talking to somebody here? We tend to surround ourselves with people who are nurturing this thing that want us to keep us where we are in our lives. And I'll show you why I say that. Why we do that. Most people that we tend to go towards are people who are likely not to benefit us any significantly in our lives. And I will show you how it is like that. Show me your friends and I'll show you your destiny. Show me the people you speak to most of the time. I'll show you where you're going. Just make me meet your friend. 5 minutes, I'll tell you. Come see me tomorrow. I can tell you where you're going. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Hallelujah. Now, there's a reason why we do that. Why our behavior is influenced by that. Listen to me. Unless we change the way we do things, we'll always be where we are. The Bible warns us about companies, and the company we keep, and I'll just give you a few scriptures, because those people influence you. Look at your neighbor. They influence you. They may not say it, but they do. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25, it says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. I love the last one. It says, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. We all have ways. We all have ways. There are those ways that have kept us where we are. And when we associate with people, we learn ways. Their ways. Can I talk to somebody now? So we learn their ways. So we all have got our ways. Look at the friend that you are with and see if you like the ways. Are you hearing me? There are certain things that make, there are certain habits that make rich people rich. Sorry. I'm sorry to disclose it to you. I wish I could pray for you and then you wake up, you leave this place multimillionaire. Believe me, I wish I could do that. It's in my heart right now. Really, it's in my heart. It's my desire to baptize you into riches. You know, let me tell you this. There are miracles in this world, okay? Yeah. But one thing I can tell you, no one chooses his miracle. You can't choose your miracle. That's why people, I don't understand, I'm believing God for a miracle. Then it's not a miracle anymore. I'm believing God for a miracle. So you are prescribing that God must make that one a miracle. You can believe God for intervention in your life, but a miracle is something unexpected. It's a surprise. It's a shock. Am I talking to somebody here? How many people have believed God for a miracle and they did come? Be honest with me. Specifically for something and then a miracle came the way you were expecting it. Did it happen that way? Did God intervene? Yes. But how did he intervene? In ways that you did not expect. That's the difference. Are you hearing me? A miracle is an entirely different thing altogether. Does God intervene miraculously in people's life? Yes. But you can never prescribe that is going to happen here. The miracle here this way. Hallelujah. You can pray for something else and God does something else in another part of your life. But you are looking at this. You see, when you do that, it's like you're prescribing to God how he must intervene in your life. All you can pray for is God's intervention. Yes. In your life. We all want God's intervention. Hallelujah. So a miracle, it's things that happen without that disrespect the loss of life. That's a miracle. So a miracle can happen. Okay? A miracle can happen. But God decides who, where, and how. But for majority of us, in the meantime, let us learn the ways. Is it making sense? Let us learn the ways. Instead of waiting for a miracle, many people wait for a miracle for a long time. Amen? Let us learn the ropes. Let us learn the ways. And it is associating with people who know the ways that we can begin to learn certain things in life. How they get successful in life. Are you hearing me? And you find that there are habits. Now, I can tell you something, and you'll see why, that we tend to be more on the people, we like friends that are likely not to benefit us in life. And I'll tell you why. I'll show you why. It's all there. Why we tend to err on the side of such people, we like their company more. And I'll tell you why. You see, the brain has got three brains, if you like. There are three brains, three in one. Say number three in one. There is something called, now if you have to understand that, to understand the power of influence. Are you here? So the brain has got three components or three brains in one. There is one called reptilian brain. Reptilian brain, okay. Reptilian brain is a very primitive brain. It has been there, animals have got it, they say. So you see, this is that's why reptile, I think reptilian is from reptile. Animals have that kind of thinking. So when you talk about it's a way of thinking that even animals have. Can I speak to somebody here? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what this brain does? All it does is just focus on survival. Just survival. So it says fight or flight. So you see people who like fighting, you know they operate on reptilian brain. Everything they fight. They fight over everything. You have such people. You touch something. You know the animals, right? All they're interested in is territories. You come into my territory, I'll deal with you. I'll fight you. There are humans like that. Why are you talking to my boyfriend? Or my husband? Why did you speak to my wife? What were you saying? Or when you get home, oh, I pray that you don't have a reptilian husband. Who operate on a reptilian brain? No, after church, why did you speak to that brother for such a long time? Do we have such people? They fight over everything because they are not thinking. Hubolelwa kiba di reptilian brain. You see what animals do? There will only be this big, the animal, you know, like they will be this, the main male, okay? And then any male that looks like it's now grown up, it fights it. It must go. It wants to keep all the females. That's why hubo ulelwa, comes from there. Reptilian brain. I pray you'll not operate with reptilian brain. Yeah. All you think is survival. Amen. Are you hearing me? And that influences behavior. And then there's the second one called mammalian brain or the limbic brain. Mama. So this one is it's an emotional brain. So it's just it's emotional. You know, It makes decision based on emotions, how we feel about things. Are you hearing me? How we feel about things. Amen? And you know, surprise, surprise, 90% of the time we're using these two brains. 90% of the 9 out of 10, we are using these two brains. Why? Do you know why? It's because the last brain, which what you call the cortical or whatever neocortex, the one that uses gray matter, yeah, on brain, it uses energy. You see how lazy people are? Isn't it true? Am I telling you something today? Do you know that you use 20% of your energy on thinking? And brain only takes 2% of the entire body weight, 2%, but it uses 20% of your energy. It means you can pray, you can actually think until you lose weight. Is that the reason why some people cannot lose weight? I'm asking. Is that they're not thinking? I'm asking you. Can I speak to somebody here today? Let me tell you this. We tend to lean to those things that do not require us to think. We want people who will not challenge our minds and our thinking. That's why we go to those friends that are always telling us mogozi. And the ones who wants to us to talk about in 2 years' time where we want to be, we don't, those ones, Because this, we start thinking we are lazy. No more. Hallelujah. Now you got to understand this, because the behavior must change. If you want to be rich, you have to stop thinking. The programs that we watch on TV are the ones that don't make you think. So and so is in love with this one today. He dumped that person. He now is on another relationship. He's in love with. That's the things we want to watch. Why? Because we sit there like zombies. Have you seen a person who has watched TV too much? It's like you can talk to them like they are not there. There's a study that has shown that actually people who watch too much TV, they lose their gray matter. They lose their gray matter after some time. It was done in the U.S. People are losing brain watching TV. Somebody said, maybe that's why I don't remember my children's ages, because of this TV. Am I talking to somebody here? Is watching TV wrong? No, it's what we watch on TV that is absolutely wrong. If we can swap programs to those that make you start thinking and not feeling sorry for somebody who has been dumped. It's high time you come out of the mammalian brain and go to the cortex. Do you want to hear this stuff?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Because if we are going to start making serious money, we have to think different ways. We have to think differently. What is the point of giving $1 million to a mammalian brain? It's going to be ruled by emotions. It's going to buy things that are not necessary because they feel like it. Because I feel like it. You know such people, because I feel like it. Why did you buy it? I feel like it. Mammalian. Do you know who I'm talking about? Are we going to be rich? Is this still the Bible? It is the word of God. The ways must change. Are you hearing me? The ways must do what? The ways must change. We have to change completely your circle of influence. Hallelujah. If you are not influencing people, they are influencing you. There's no other way. One person is influencing another. Are you going your friend's way or your friends are going your way? Hallelujah. We have to start thinking differently. Amen. We have to start looking for different programs on TV. Oh, listen, millionaires don't watch soapies. Aisaliyo ameni nakinataba. Nakinataba. Millionaire go tall out shaving this skim sam. Millionaires, they find these things boring. Okay, do you want to be millionaires? I think that's the issue here. Do you want to be millionaires? So you're the right people to hear this stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, our sermons on Sundays appeal to the mammalian brain because they make us feel good. We feel fuzzy, we feel good, but when we leave this place, we go to circumstances that make us feel different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't want to hear stuff that is not nice. We don't want to hear stuff that is not nice. Anything that, hallelujah, glory, men of God, because they are appealing to our emotions. That's what I'm saying. They are good. We feel good. We want to feel. Who doesn't want to feel good? Amen. Hallelujah. May God help us. Amen. Look at the neighbor. Are you going to change your circle of friends? Are you going to change your television programs? Are you going to look the ones that talk up to, for the one, let's talk about business, investments. Hallelujah. You know, when you do that, let me tell you this. Don't even tell your friend to go away. Just change your channels. They will automatically leave you. Just torment them with investment programs. Torture them. And they find you like you are enjoying these things. They look at you. What's going on? They won't come again. When they start talking about somebody, say, shh, wait, I think this is very important. That's how you change the wardrobe. If we keep doing things the same way, we will get the same results. That is the problem. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If we keep doing things the same way, we're going to get what? The same results. I'm tired of my circumstances. I want a new set of circumstances. Who is coming with me here? Yeah. Hallelujah. Say, neighbor, I want my brain to grow and not shrink. Hallelujah. Sometimes you go somewhere and then you go to the kitchen or ever and you wonder, what was I looking for? It is this TV. How many people have come to a place and say, what is it? Who has experienced that? Let me see your hands. Has it happened to you? No, I want to see your hands, please. I want to see like if I'm talking to the right people. So it has happened to you. You have your diagnosis. You know I'm losing something. Something is not right. Let's clap hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? Yeah. I don't want to be long today because there's so much that I want us to do. Hallelujah. And we're going to get more details, I think, next week. But I just want to give you what we must get today. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become what? Wise. Now, there are three things that directly affect the strength of an influence. Three things. Very important. How many? Three things. Number one is proximity. The more you are closer to something, the more likely it will influence you. That talks about company. Being there. You know, the people will say, no, I'm going to watch this, my church, it's online church, I don't know. But sometimes you need to be present. You need to be present. Proximity is very important when it comes to influence. We're able to. There's something you're missing on internet that does not go through the airwaves. That you get direct. It's nothing that will ever replace this gathering. Proximity. So the more you spend time with your friends, the more they will influence you. The more people, the more time you spend, the closer you are, this proximity, the closer you are to anybody, it is going to be, it is going to influence you. Amen? The second thing is respect. The things you value, the things you honor, are likely to respect you. Amen? The things you honor, the things you do what? You honor and respect. And lastly, repetition. Repetition. The more you do something, expose yourself to, the more it's going to influence you. So based on these things, you decide what you want in life. What do you want to see yourself close to all the time? What do you value? When you choose a friend, look at their values. Look at their values. Look at what? Look at their values. You know, or when you choose somebody to influence, you know, there's a lot of influencers on TV and social media and all that. Many of them really, you know why they are so popular? Because they're useless. They don't benefit you. Many, those who get billions of followers, they're not useful to you. You know what they do? They show themselves on the beach. And then they get 1 million likes. How is that thing going to be useful to you? That's what I'm talking about. The most popular people are not doing anything useful for people. I'm not saying everybody. I say those who have got the highest are the people who don't benefit anyone with anything. They're just showing the things. The more you like is the more they make more money, and then they go and do other things. Oh, I like that one. Then you are giving more money to just do that. They are not adding anything of value to your life. Those who are useful, those do not have so much rating. The things that are going to, they do things that will benefit you. They don't have so much liking. It's up to you to choose who you want to influence yourself with. If you go like everybody following and liking people who are just popular, you don't even know why they're popular. Let me tell you this. They are influencing your life. Do you like their values? Do you like their values? Amen? Hallelujah. So many of these people are not so useful to you. I'm talking to young people here. You are the ones that follow all these people all over TikTok, what? They are just dancing. What are they doing? Look at the people you like. Look at them. Show me your phone. I want to see the people you follow. Ask the young person, let me see. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's people who are doing all these sorts of dances. It's not true. That's what we're doing. And these are people who are influencing us. You have to make a decision who you want to influence you. And who you want to follow in life. Are you hearing me? Amen. Am I talking to somebody here? Amen. Yeah. Because why do we like them? Because they make us feel good. Who does not want to feel good? The one who leaves me worried and thinking I must go change my lifestyle, you know what? And sacrifice this, cut that, spend less. Oh my goodness, I don't want that stuff. Let's rather go dancing. Skomota. Who's Skomota now? Muruti, are you following Skomota? Who's Skomota? I don't know Skomota. Tell me Skomota. He's a dancer. What does...
He won money on sport bets, I think.
On sports bet. On,
now he's dancing. There's his dance that he's doing.
That's his own dance, Skomoto. I'm not going to ask you to show me the dance in the church. I'm not going to ask you at all. I know my children will look for it and say, this is Skomoto, Papa. This is Skomoto. Look, you. So that's what they were talking about. They will find it for me. Do you love Jesus Christ? Are you blessed to be in the house of God? You see, these things look so small, but imagine the time they are taking from you, the influence, the energy that they are just taking out of you, just watching these things, and that are not leaving you with anything. If anything, they leave you empty. Behave like a millionaire. Look at your neighbor. Do you want money? Start behaving like people who have money. You young people, you are lucky to learn these things at an early age. I'm telling you, you are very lucky. You are very lucky. Yes. Amen. People who go far, they tend to take their own. You must stand out. Many people find you boring in the name of Jesus. Because anything that challenges the mind, they will find it boring. Because nobody wants to use his brains properly. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm going to start thinking today. Yo. I'm going to look at the children of Israel and the power of influence, and then we're going to close. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. If we are close to something, value it, and routinely spend time with it, we are more likely to internalize it and let it change us. This is a quotation from someone else. It says, if we are close to something and we value it and routinely spend time with it, we are more likely to internalize it and let it change us. God wants the children of Israel. He said that when they come into the land that he has given them, they must drive out all the inhabitants. All of them, they must kick them out. But you know why? What they did, they kept some as their neighbors. They didn't kick them, but they said, I like this neighbor. Shala, we're not right. Don't worry. You're fine. When God said all of them, now listen to me. There are people that must come out of your life. Otherwise, utadula molinte. Amen? So, he said, and they didn't, they kept them, some of them, as their neighbors. And look what happened. By keeping some of the Canaanites around as their neighbors, neighbor means proximity. They were always there. Proximity. What are you keeping close to you? That is going to influence you. What is it that you don't want to spend a day without even looking at it? Thinking about it. That is going to influence you. Proximity. Say the power of proximity. So what did they do? They kept them around as neighbors. The second thing, what did they do? They developed an interest in their customs. Why? Because they respected their gods more than their own God. Mm-hmm. So the reason why, they just respected it. Unless you respect something, it's not going to influence you. Hallelujah.
Anyone who influences you, you respect them. Period. You have given them their your respect. So it is very clear that they respect them even more than God. They respect their gods even more than God. And they continually mingled with them. The Bible says they continually mingled with them. That means repetition. They went to their parties. They went to their celebration. Some of the parties you go to that you show on Facebook, you're not even supposed to go. You know, some Christians are even proud to show things that they are not even supposed to. Amen. And then you wonder why their lives are like that. You know, there are people who don't see anything wrong in a lot of things that are wrong. There's an association which we must not keep at all. Canaanites. Not supposed to keep in our life. I'm Ruti, I have to be nice. Okay, it's fine. They then don't look for money. Amen. So you need to change your behavior. Say, neighbor, you must change your behavior. So you have to change your behavior. What we are going to learn in much more detail next week, which is going to be details, is how you can really make this influence work for you in a very specific way. Amen? Amen. The kind of company that you have to keep. Hallelujah. Amen. The, you know, my wife always laments the issue that when she goes to business meetings, workshops, there are no young people. And she comes back and says, where are the young people? You have to change. When you see that there is a workshop, you'll have to go. We don't want to go there because, this thing is not where we want to go to. That is why when people have got important things that will make people think, they invite an artist that will pull people. Otherwise, they won't come because they say, No. Are you hearing me? Then they do what? They invite Skomoto. Is that Skomoto? Is Skomoto? I got it. You see, I catch very fast. They invite you, Skomoto. You see, they all come, Skomoto people. They'll come. It'll be full. Then you get them. Then you start making them think. You give them stuff, they sleep. After dancing to Skomoto, they sleep. And then they wake up when it's eating time. Say, God help me, Lord. Say, God help me. Am I telling the truth? So you have to tell yourself and say, look, I have to change. God is not going to give you too much money now when you're still living like this. You know, you'll be like a lot of people. You'll blow it out, all of it next week. And you won't even know what you've done with it. God is preparing you. And it shows you how it's going to happen. Amen? We're going to have the right, we're going to invite the right people here. We'll talk serious things, you know. Serious things. They'll come and invite them. You must attend. Yes. You must come. Amen. You must come. That's how we are going to do it. Amen. Are you hearing me? So we are going to have to change many things. Hallelujah. You know, I was saying to people in Merton that, you see, if you are
going to run every time you get money to the shops. Things must change. Amen? Because all of us have touched money at some point. Look at your neighbor. Do you know how money looks like? What is your neighbor saying? It means they have touched and seen money. The way you behaved, that's what caused that money to run away and escape. And never and vowed never to come back. Look at your neighbor. The way you remember that money, the way you treated it, it escaped. It ran and vowed that never come back and be harassed like that. That's why now you may not even remember how money looks like. When was the last time your account was 10,000 in the bank? It's like, but listen, your bank accounts are going to get a shock out of their lives. I say your bank accounts are going to get a shock out of their lives. Hallelujah. Because we are repenting from our misbehavior. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people who started off lower than many of you here, and they are millionaires. I'm telling you, there are many people who have started lower than where you started. Many people who are millionaires did not inherit it. Now, if you leave millions and billions to your children, they're just going to harass it. That's a fact. But I'm majority, unless it's De Beers and all those. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So the issue is, what is gonna change now with you? Amen. Because money is coming. I'm not even praying for money to come. It's coming. Do you want me to pray for money? No. It's coming. Amen. In fact, I heard this yesterday, and I thought, you know, as I was praying and meditating, I heard something like this. And I think it was God speaking. Now, listen to this. I'm telling you, as I heard it, that the things like money and wealth, there's a garment, like a garment of wealth. That garment of wealth only fits a certain size of people. So it is not the wealth that must come, but it is somebody having to fit the size. Okay. So it means you walk into the wealth and you put it on. But you must be the right size. So I heard that, and it makes sense to me, because now all we are doing is to cut you to size. All the teachings are chopping. They're not nice, but they're chopping you to size. They're making you lose weight here and there. Cut the height. Are you hearing me? Until you fit this thing called wealth. It is there already, but it is waiting for a certain size of a person. So we don't pray for wealth. We know that it is God's plan that you may be rich. Are you hearing me? But somebody has to be the right size to go in there. I mean, if ungodly people have wealth, why should we even be praying for it? They are not praying. They're not praying, but they have wealth. So why are you praying for wealth? No, it's there. And it makes sense to me, it's there. He's just waiting for people to fit it. It's like going into the change room in the shops and you fit it. You know? It's like, this is too small. This is too big. Wealth is like that. There's a size waiting for you. You just have to be that size and walk into it. It is yours. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the evil world, sometimes they know, kingdom of darkness know much more about you than you know about yourself. Amen. And whilst you are confused and confused and all that, they can manipulate people's lives and benefit from it. That's what I would say. But for us, I'm revealing it to you that indeed the wealth for you does exist. It's just waiting for you. Amen. We literally shape ourselves out of size or out of shape for our wealth. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you are going to, this thing is going to fit you. Especially after this sermon. I see you walking into that thing. I see you putting on a garment of wealth. I'm done preaching. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we going to behave like rich people? Yeah. Are we going to behave like rich people? Yeah. Can I visit your house? Yeah. Don't change the TV. Just keep it that way. Yeah. Let me see what you're watching. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We're going to go into much more details about the things we are going to be doing as far as this is concerned, which are scriptural and biblical. Amen. Are you blessed, Bazalwane? Yeah. Are we blessed, Bazalwane? Yeah. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to the kingdom finances here? Yeah? Am I talking to kingdom finances here? Yeah? It's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of God. That's how you fit into this thing. If you are still not kingdom minded, remember the fig tree leaves. It's about self-centeredness. People who are kingdom minded are wearing the skin that God has made for them. It's only that, if you can put on Christ, that you can be now kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. Amen? And not in your mind. There's some people who say, you know, well, if I get money, I'm going to do this for church. But they are not aware that they still have a problem. The moment the money arrives, they are off to something. But yet they were crying and praying to God, Lord, make me a kingdom financer. I will do 1, 2, 3. But when money comes, it finds you naked. It's not what you say. It's who you are and who you are clothed in. Christ means that you are dead to self. Nothing matters. Nothing matters anymore. Hallelujah. I was listening to Dick Howard Mills yesterday. He was saying, you know why people fail? He found that the reason why people fail in missions, people who are sent out to do God's work fail. He said, because they are unrighteous people. Because missions seek that you die to self. You literally die to self to do that kind of work. So if you are here and say, God, I want to do missions. I want you to send me out. And if you are still wearing fig leaves, you won't survive. If you are not kingdom-minded, you will not survive. Because a lot of things will ask you questions. Amen. Many questions have come in ministry for me. If I wasn't kingdom-minded, I would have run away a long time ago. Really, literally ran away. Amen. And switched my phone off. Or changed my numbers. and left a big notice there, no more church until further notice. Imagine coming to church, you find that under new management. Amen. It takes one to be kingdom minded. So as God blesses you, you have to get rid of the carnal mind and have the mind of God. Amen. That proper riches, they will really bless you and not be a curse to you. Because when God blesses you, He does not add sorrows. Can you stand on our feet right now? I believe that God is preparing us for a season that is coming. You shall hear of workshops this side, that side, that side. You must be ready to go. Amen. Be ready to put in the works and the time. I was talking to my daughter yesterday about putting in the works and putting in the time. We don't want to do that because it costs us energy. It costs us something. Thinking is hard and energy consuming. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we in the house of God? No matter your age, you are going to do business. Hallelujah. Business, God's way, business for God. I'm going to do that. Amen. And this church is going to back you all the way. Amen. Mama Ruth wants to organize a lot of things, I believe. And you will be the first people. Hallelujah. I want a new thinking, a mind shift that must come into the church of God. A new one. A victim mentality must leave us. We're always worried about the devil are taking us. Amen. Everything devil, say never, everything devil, devil, devil. Especially when you come to we come from a deliverance ministry, it's a problem. Because everything is a demon. Everything is demon. Everything is demon. I don't have money. It's a demon eating my money. What about you spending it? Is it not true? Everything demon, demon. No, my things are not going well. No, demon. No. What about the ways? What about the ways of doing things? Have you respected them? Amen. It's an easy scapegoat and an easy preaching. I can preach that. We are all happy. We go home. We blame the devil. Meanwhile, he's folding his hands and say, Allah abantu ba manje bansuke. Are you hearing me? So, when you finish this series, I want to see people walking into their wealth at all ages. At all ages. You know, one day I was praying for people in Sasolburg, and a young man took out his phone and showed me pictures of trading. And he said to me, man of God, I'm trading. He's a young man, I think, still at school. He says, I'm trading, but I'm not succeeding. And I know this is spiritual. He says, people in Limpopo, they're making money. Imagine I'm praying for people. Like, man of God, I'm trading. I know. I just need prayers. I know. Because people in Limpopo are making money. You know what is sexually saying? Is that it's witchcraft. People are using muti in Limpopo to succeed. So if I can cast this demon out that is involved, are you hearing me? And then give him a grace that is above the Limpopo people. then all shall be well. And I looked at the young man, and I knew in my heart that the time will come when I'll teach things properly. And then you will see where the problem is. And these young people will make money from trading. They will make money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will pay, as a young person in this church, you will pay for other children's school fees. Oh, do you believe the prophecy? Do you believe the prophecy? Yeah. It's a young person. So, you know what? This is going to happen. Hallelujah. This is going to, whatever you desire to do, you will do. Amen. We just have to get ourselves ready. That thing is waiting for us to be ready. Amen. Are you hearing me? What's the use of me praying for that thing? Whatever I pray for, God somehow intervenes. This young person now starts buying BMWs. He's posing on Facebook and say, hey, look at me. I don't even change his phone number. I can't even get hold of him. Does not even come to church anymore. It's a life destroyed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm spending time teaching you the right thing because that's not a problem. That should not even be your problem. Just get ready for it. That is a spirit that we must have. These businesses, just get ready for the business. The business has been waiting for you. Just get ready for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands right now. Father, I thank you that their hearts are being changed and they are being transformed towards you and away from themselves. Heavenly Father, I pray that there will be no more delays. Lord God, I pray that you'll begin to direct them into their wealth. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Wealth has been waiting for many of us, labeled our names for a long, long time. But Lord, I believe this is the season in which we must walk into our blessings. Heavenly Father God, we've heard your teachings. We don't want to behave like carnal people. We don't want to behave like people we see everywhere when money comes. We are not going to be changed by money. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray right now. In Jesus' name, we pray that these people are ready. These people's hearts are prepared. They are big enough to hold something from you and not be destroyed by it. Father, Lord, we pray right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Say, neighbor. Say, I feel good. Not because of the mammal brain. It's because the Spirit says yes. It is happening. Yes, yes, yes. Can you just spend a minute or two? Just thank God for the atmosphere that is changing. The atmosphere that is changing. The atmosphere that is changing. Let's bless him. Let's bless him. Let's bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Yes, bless him. Just bless him. There's a shift. There's a shift in your life. There's a shift in your life. There's a shift in your life. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. ashika la mayinda rabasa. Rokora aselebra de kashika labrani. Roko sekete librani. Resekanda bayi karabasa karabaha. Rekashika la bayi karabaha. Rende elezikla mangolos lekiriyanda sakatarabasa. Lord God, we bless you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Here we are. We are getting ready, Father. We are getting ready to walk into this, Lord. Time has passed. Many hours and many months have been wasted, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.